Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Ches, Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yehuda, Haka Lagluye Gapa. If a city is building a wall around the city, everybody has to contribute to the building of that wall. V'filu Miyasmi, even Yisaimim, Yisaimim or Ketanim have to contribute because everybody is protected by wall. Everybody benefits from that wall. Av Rabbanim loy, Rabbanim don't have to participate. My Tama, what is the reason? My Tama, Rabbanim loy to Tzurichin Turasai. Rabbanim don't need special protection because the Torah that they learn protects them. So the question, of course, is that who are the Talmid Chachamim that the Gemara is referring to here that don't need this special protection? So Rashi explains the pasuk that discusses those that learn Torah. B'shapacha tishmar lecha. The Torah constantly protects us. But the question again is that who are the Talmid Chachamim? So the Rimigash, quoting his Rebbe the Rif, says that the only people who are considered Talmidei Chachamim and that are exempt from participating for the wall are Talmidei Chachamim who is Torasoi Imnosoi, who learns Torah full time. But if somebody who isn't learning Torah full time, he's not in that included in who the Gemara means here when we speak about a Talmid Chachamim. The Ramban disagrees. He says that a Talmud Chacham who makes teras chakva, who goes to work because he needs to make a living, but what's primary in his life is the Torah, that individual is considered enough of a Talmud Chacham that he's exempt from paying for the wall. The question that also comes up is, well, and that's the opinion of the Rosh, the question that comes up, what about a person who's a Rebbe, who teaches Talmidim Torah, then but gets paid for teaching it. Again, there's a machlokes. He says that it seems that many Rishonim consider such a person a Talmid Chacham. But the Sefer Chassidim disagrees, and Sefer Chassidim says that only a Talmid Chacham that doesn't make any parnasa, doesn't work at a job, and his entire parnasa comes just because Schar B'Teila, if he's learning in yeshiva, he's learning in kollel, they help support him. That's the only source of income that he has. That is the only person, according to the Sefer Chassidim, that doesn't have to participate in building the wall. However, says the Gemara, Lekari Pasa, when they're digging a well, that the people in the town should have water, then the halacha is Vafilu Mirabonim. Even the Talmid Chachamim have to participate in that, because the Talmid Chachamim also need to drink. Furthermore, the Talmid Chachamim that have to participate in making the well, that the way the well is built is not that people actually go and build the well. They collect money and they have that money to build the well. But if the way the well is built is by everybody in town going out to actually dig the well, loy, the Talmid Chachamim don't have to participate. The reason being, the Rabbanan Labnei Mechluzon Ninu. Rabbanan Talmid Chachamim are not obligated to go out to actually dig a well. There is a Machloikus Rishonim. The Gemara is very clear that Talmid Chachamim have to participate in paying for the well, but there is no obligation for Talmid Chacham to actually dig the well. The question that the Rishonim debate is if the well is being built by people actually digging the well, and Talmid Chachamim was saying are exempt from digging. How does the halacha look at that situation? Does the halacha look at that situation that since the well is being built by people digging the well, and Talmid Chachamim are not obligated to do so, so they're totally exempt? Or does it mean that if the Talmid Chachamim aren't going to build the well themselves, for they are exempt, will they have to pay for somebody to do it in their place? As I said, it's a machlokes rishonim. Amar Rav Yehuda, lekari denara, if the river has something blocking it, so we have to take away that blockage. So says the Gemara, tatoi misai aloi. If the blockage is on the top of the river, it's flowing down, and the people that are on the top are now have to clear out that blockage, the people who live at the bottom of the river have to help, because the water that's being blocked at the top prevents anyone from being able to use that water. And therefore, the people on the bottom need to help. Eloi lemisatoi tatoi. But if the water is being blocked on the bottom of the slant, so the people on the top don't have to participate, because they're going to get their water anyway. But says the Gemara, v'chalufa b'may demitra. What we just said is just the opposite by rainwater, where the rainwater, if there's a situation where there's rainwater that is landing on the roads and all over in the city, and they build a ditch that the water should go drain out. So now the Gemara says the rule would be just the opposite. If the ditch at the top of the mountain got clogged up, the people on the top have to fix it, but the people on the bottom don't have to fix it. On the contrary, they're happy that the water should remain on top and not come down to them. So they certainly cannot be forced to participate. But if the blockage is on the bottom of the mountain, so the people on the bottom have to fix it, and the people on the top of the mountain have to help, because they're also going to participate. Because if that won't happen, the water will back up to the top. Tanya mihochi. If you have five gardens that are planted along a slope, one below the other, there's one source of water that's providing irrigation to all of them, and that source of irrigation got blocked up, even all of them have to help the one that's on the top, because if the one on top will remain blocked, even those on the bottom won't be able to enjoy that water. That the bottom one always has to participate. But let's say the blockage is on the bottom, so the gardens that are above that river, above that garden, won't be have a problem. So the one on the bottom always has to participate. But sometimes the one on the bottom is the only one that will participate. And that's in a case, when the blockage is on the bottom. If you have five chatzeris, that there's water that is spoiled water coming out, lebib echad, to one ditch that the draining out, and that drainage hole got blocked, they all have to participate with the bottom chotzer, because if they're not going to participate, what's going to happen is that the upper ones will also get backed up. The upper chotzer has to always participate. But if it's only it that's being hurt, it won't hurt the ones on the bottom, and therefore the bottom, anything below it, those chotzers below it won't have to participate. Omer Shmuel, Hayman the Achsek Buraksa the Nahara. Somebody who has property on the beach and he wants to plant there. Chatzifa hava. A person who wants to act that way is acting with chutzpah. It's acting without respect. Because it's a place that, since it's right by the beach, many people want to pass by there. And him building there prevents people from going there. And if, however, even though what he's doing is wrong, slukalem sakinale, we have no right to remove from that place, because it doesn't belong to anybody. And since it doesn't belong to anybody, the halacha is that we can't force him to stop. However, the Kosa Pasoi, now that the Pasayim began to write in their documents when they sell a property near the beach, the Karamlach Ad Molit Tzvari Susamayim, the property is yours until the area where the horse could go up to its neck. So that means the property belongs to the person who's next to it. Somebody who takes that property away is removed, because that property belongs to that person. So what happens is, as the Miri explains, people normally leave that area empty. So that should be a place where the boats could unload whatever they're transporting. And somebody, the Gemara says, who tries to take that property for himself is a chotzef. As much as he's a chotzef, says the Gemara, if it's written into the contract that it's his, then it's his. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hai man da achzik. The Gemara now begins the sugya of Bar Metzra. And the sugya Bar Metzra teaches us that that if I own a property and I'm selling the property, I need to sell it to a person who's my neighbor. He has first right of refusal. And therefore, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Hai man da achzik ben achi ben shutvei, somebody who takes a property that's in between two brothers' properties or two properties that are owned by partners, chatzifa hava, he's acting with chutzpah, because they want to be the ones to take that property. And as the Torah Doshet says, the sisa hayoshiva toiv, and to do what's right is to make sure that you don't interfere with property that belongs to other people. But even though a person has acted that way, we don't remove him. And it's a very big machlokes with Rishonim, how to understand what Rabbi Yehuda Merav says. Does Rabbi Yehuda Merav not subscribe at all? The simplest way to understand is that he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Bar Metzra. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they don't agree that Rav Nachman completely, that Rabbi Yehuda completely disagrees with Bar Metzra. He says, of course he agrees with the concept of Bar Metzra. And they say that only in a case, in certain cases, will he say that Bar Metzra doesn't apply, as we'll see in the Gemara. Rav Nachman Manami Masakinalei, we remove that person. Vimashum the Bar Metzra, but if the people who are next to them don't have any complaint, like Masakinalei. As we said, the pasuk says, and the Rishonim debate if this is a din d'oraisa, this is the din d'rabbanan. The Rosh, however, points out that even though there's halacha bar metzra, and that the neighbor has right of first refusal, as we're going to be learning, that's only when the neighbor can find a property, a home somewhere else. But he says, in a case where the neighbor can't find property somewhere else, then we don't force him to leave the sugya. So again, as Rashi said, the machlokes of Nachman and Adoy is if the halacha bar metzra applies to what, and to what degree does it apply. But many Rishonim disagree, and they say that everybody agrees with the concept of bar metzra. Only in certain cases do they say that does he hold that Metzra doesn't apply. Because one explanation is that when, according to Rav Nachman, does Bar Metzra not apply, in a time that the neighbor knew about this property being for sale, and we're going to speak about this more later, hopefully. If I knew this property was for sale, and I wanted to buy this property, and I had right of first refusal because by Metzra, I should have exercised my right. And if I didn't exercise my right, then the halacha is that that I don't have a claim by Metzra. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that Rav Nachman holds we're giving up the property where will involve a significant loss to the person who bought the property, even though, as we're learning, they shouldn't have bought up the property because of Bar Metzra. The halacha is that he's not forced to give it up. Asa Imuch Bey, somebody goes and asks the neighbor. Vamalei, if somebody asks your neighbor, should I buy this property which is available, which is right next to your property? Vamalei Eilech Ezel Esben, and he gives me advice, yes, go buy this property. Vamalei, I asked, Ezel Esben, should I buy this property? Vamalei, and he tells me, yes, Zils Voin, go buy the property. Tzarech L'mikne Minei Eloi, does in order for this to be considered a valid mechila. Because as we're going to learn in our shir, the Bar Metzra could turn around and say, you had no right to buy this property. So in order that he should not be able to say this, the Gemara's question is that only going to be the case if he makes a kinyan, or if the fact that he said it is adequate that the rule of Bar Metzra should no longer be applicable? The fact that he gave up his right is adequate. He asked, in order that he should be considered halachically that he gave up his right, a kinyan is required. The hilchasa, and the halacha says the Gemara is, tzarech l'mikmenei. If we want that this person should give up his right, the halacha is that he has to make a kinyan. And the simple way of learning the Gemara is two ways of learning. Either it's because how far is the din of Bar Metzra go, something that we mentioned a few moments ago, is Bar Metzra a Daraisa or Drabanan? That's one way of learning. And if we learn that Bar Metzra is a Daraisa, the Gemara is quite understandable. Because if Bar Metzra is a din Daraisa, we could understand why if you want to be able to avoid the problem Bar Metzra, you have to make a kinyan. The other way of learning that I saw that the Chazon Ish explains, that there's a concept in halacha of mishata nibach, where I come and I say, well, I asked you, should I buy the property? And you recommended that I should. So isn't that a proof that you gave up rights to this property? So the Chazon Ish says, the machlokes here is, if mishata nibach, can you say, I really wasn't serious what I meant? The Rishonim also debate, the Gemara is saying you have to have a kinyan to give up the rule of Bar Metzra. But the Rambam's opinion is that that's only before a sale with somebody else is consummated. But once a sale with somebody else is consummated, then even if there was no kinyan, but you recommended that I should buy it, you advised me to buy it, you have no claim of Bar Metzra. There are other Rishonim that disagree and say that the opinion that holds that you have to make a kinyan, which is the halacha, always needs a kinyan, regardless if he bought it or not. The Tor, quoting the Ma, says that only in a case would a neighbor advise me that I could buy it do we have this situation. But in a case where the neighbor didn't just tell me, the buyer, what he said, but he actually told the seller that you could sell it to whomever you want, there everybody will agree that by him saying you could sell it to whoever you want, then the halacha is that a kinyan is not required. That's enough that he gave up his rights. But the Beis Yosef actually quotes the Mordechai, who quotes the Rebbeinu Simcha, who says just the opposite. He says that even though in the Gemara we're having a machlokes of a kinyan is required, that's only in a case where the neighbor spoke to the buyer. But when the neighbor spoke to the seller, the Ramah says that a kinyan is not required, and the Mordechai says that even a kinyan wouldn't be adequate. It doesn't mean anything just because even though he made a kinyan, which is a very big chiddush. So says the Gemara, hashta the armet tzarech l'mikmenei. But now that the Gemara says that even though the neighbor told me I could buy it, but I didn't make a kinyan, I have to, in order for that to be considered that he gave up his rights, a kinyan is required. Eloi karminei, if he didn't make kinyan, what happens if Eikovizol, if the property goes up or down in value, brishusei, it goes up and down in the value from the buyer. And therefore, the halachi is that if the neighbor now didn't make kinyan, and he wants to remove me, the buyer, from this property, he has to pay whatever I paid. It doesn't make a difference if the price went up or down. Zovin Mosin, and the Gemara goes a step further. If the property I bought, this property, I paid 100, but now it's Shavin Mosin. Zavim b'mei v'shavim masin. I bought it for 100, and now it's worth 200. So says the Gemara, Chazina, ila kulam kamazila mazbin, if this is the price that would be paid now to anybody, then yavle mal v'shakalei. Then all he has to give me is $100. Because the neighbor could have bought it at that price. When it was sold for 100, and that's all he's obligated to pay, and he could tell the buyer, you have to leave the property. But vim loy, if the seller would not have sold it at this price to any other buyer, it's only because of the relationship that exists because between this seller and this buyer that he gave it to him for a cheaper price. So then the halacha is that you have to pay the value, the $200. The came b'masa v'shavimana. What's going to be the halacha if I bought it for 200, but now it's only worth 100? Savimineh. So they thought that what would be the halacha that matzah amalei l'shut kudisha d'ticha v'lai v'afsi. The ben meitzer, the neighbor, could say, you are really my shliach to buy this property. And since you're really just my shliach to buy this property, you could have gotten the property for 100. You paid 200. And therefore, the whole deal is null and void. And what we mean to say by the whole deal being null and void, we call this, I think, a mekach tos. And since it's considered a mekach tos, your deal, which you really had no right to get into, is null and void. And now I'll pay it. Now I'll pay the value that it's really worth. Amalei ma k'shish b'reid Rav Chisda. Rav Kshisha, who was the oldest son of Rav Chisda, said to Rav Ashi, "Hachi amr na'adam shmeid Rav Nachman, ein anola kakos." When we speak about property, we learned early in our Masechta extensively the halacha of Aino, overcharging or undercharging for a property. It says the Gemara that doesn't apply by karka, and there are two reasons. One reason, as we learned, is the Torah says, the Torah, when it speaks about Aino, uses the word economy, yada mischal sainu. So from there we learned that Aino is only applicable by something hanikna miyad liyad, something that's transferable. Property obviously is not transferable. Another reason is because when we speak about karka, sometimes somebody wants a property in a certain spot, even in a certain location, even though to everyone else that location is not necessarily so attractive, but to me it's very attractive. And since to me it's very attractive, I am entitled, since to me it's very attractive, that's the price I'm willing to pay, and that's why there's no anolika cost. And therefore, if the buyer paid more than the neighbor thinks it's worth, it doesn't make a difference. And the halacha is that the neighbor who now is going to make the buyer sell it to him has to pay the price that he paid. Says the Gemara, Zavaloi grieve the arva mitzvah nechsei. If somebody sold to a buyer a little property that's in the middle of his properties, and now there's no bar mitzvah. Why is there no bar mitzvah? Because the property around the property I bought is all the property of the sellers. So when is there a din of bar mitzvah? The din of bar mitzvah only applies in a case where there is a neighbor that wants to have first rights. Here it's not the neighbor, chazinin. So now we have to evaluate, says the Gemara. We have to see what type of property I bought. Was it Idjus or Zaburius? If it was Idjus or Zaburius, then Zvina Zvina. The prior bought the property, and the neighbor has no right to claim anything. However, Eloi, but if there's nothing special to this property, it's obvious that this was only done Irume Kamarim. It was only done as a way to get this buyer into this property without anybody being able to have a claim against me. And therefore, the halacha is that it's a din, that there is a halacha ben mitzvah. The Bnei Yisachar quotes the Chidah. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos that Pei Ches Amud Beis teaches us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, the Malachim said to Moshe Rabbeinu, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tana Hoitcha al Shemayim, leave the Torah with us. And he says that what was the basis of the claim of the Malachim? Because the Malachim said that since the Torah was here first, so we have right of first refusal. And therefore, we're about Metzra, and that the Klai Yisrael cannot receive the Torah. So, but what was the answer? As we're going to learn, says the Chidah, the Din of Metzra doesn't apply if you're selling it to a son. And what happened here was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Klai Yisrael are my children. And since they're my children, the halach is, as the pasuk says, "Bottom atam Hashem alkecha." There is no bar mitzvah. Another explanation that the Chidah says, the Bnei Yisrael quotes the Chidah, that even though we're learning the halach of bar mitzvah, but the halach of bar mitzvah doesn't apply if this, as we'll see, when the seller has a specific benefit that he wouldn't with this buyer that he wouldn't have with another buyer, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to say to Malachim. Malachim, the only part of the Torah that they could keep is the part that is the Pnimius of Torah. But as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Klai Yisrael, you have no ability to do the Malachim only could do Pnimius of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I far prefer that people should be able to keep all of the Torah, and that's why I, the seller, have a benefit with Klai Yisrael receiving the Torah. Dor HaChaim explains that we find that when Avraham Avinu bought the Maros HaMachpelah for the Bnei Ches, the Torah Kedoshah says, Le'enei Bnei Amin Asatir L'cha Kfar Es Meisecha. Why does the Torah say this? Because explains the Dor HaChaim, Avraham Avinu made sure that everybody should be there. And Avraham Avinu said that everybody should participate in the sale. And the halacha is that if anybody is a broker in the sale, he can't say bar mitzvah. That's why he had everybody participate. Moreover, the Mefarshim explained that we find that when Avraham Avinu bought the Maros HaMachpelah, the pasuk says that not only did Avraham Avinu buy Maros HaMachpelah, the pasuk says, "Mikna sod of amora ashaba meis bnei ches." Avraham Avinu was careful to buy everything around that area, and since he was careful to buy everything around the area, then there won't be an issue of bar mitzvah. Another pshat that the Panim Yofa says, we find that the people of Ches said to Avraham Avinu, "Get nasi elakim b'taychenu." That you are Nasi Elokim. Why did he have to say that? So explains the Panim Yofes, because what they were trying to say to Avraham Avinu, by you being a Nasi Elokim, so you are an individual who's a Talmud Chacham. And we're going to learn that the Halacha Bar Mitzvah doesn't apply by Talmud Chacham. Continues the Gemara. If the person who is selling the property or giving up the property didn't sell it, the Matana, he gave it as a gift, less b'mishundina b'metzra. Then the halacha b'metzra doesn't apply. And the Rishonim explain, because what is the basis of the claim of b'metzra? The basis of the claim b'metzra is, why did you have to buy the property which is right next to my property? You could have bought another property, but that's only applicable by a property that I bought, not by property that I got for a gift. You can't say, well, you could have gotten another property as a gift. A gift is a gift. And the Rishonim actually stressed that. The person who gives me a gift says, I specifically wanted to give you this property as a gift, no other property, and you wouldn't have an opportunity to get it without him giving it to me, says the Gemara. However, Amar Meimah, Ikos lo echrayis, if the person who received the gift took on responsibility, a halacha that we've discussed many times, that if I buy a property for somebody and there's a mortgage on that property, then the halacha is that the Baal Chayv could collect the property. So says the Gemara, if the gift was given with a chrayis, that is something unusual, because usually gifts are not given with a chrayis. So that's a proof that it's not really a gift. It's just a subterfuge, that's the way that this person should be able to get the property, and therefore Isba Mishun Deme Metzra. Macha Kal Nechasov Lechad. If you sold all your property to one person, and then the neighbor comes and says that I wanted to buy this property, then the halacha is, says the Gemara, less by Mishun Din Deme Metzra, the halacha is that there's no Din Deme Metzra. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is that even if the neighbor said, because it's hard to find somebody that's going to buy all my property, if I found somebody who's willing to buy all my property, I sell it to him. So ask the Ramban and the Ran, what happens if this neighbor says, just like this person was willing to buy all of your property, I'm willing to buy all your property. So is there a rule about Metzra? So the Rosh explains that even there still wouldn't be a locha ben Metzra. Because the Rosh explains, I, the seller, could say that the chances that I could be able to find somebody who's willing to buy all my property is very remote. And therefore, I found somebody who's willing to buy all my property. I sold it to him, and I didn't start worrying about my neighbors. The Meiri disagrees. And the Meiri says that there are those that hold that if my neighbor's willing to buy, just like this person was willing to buy all the property, the neighbor's willing to buy all the property, then the halacha would be that there is bar metzra. The Gemara here spoke about the halacha, if the seller sold all of his properties, and the Gemara says that under those circumstances, there's no halacha bar metzra. What will be if the seller only sold two of his properties? The Pshach's opinion is that even in that case, there will be a din bar metzra. The Taz says that once I'm selling more than one property, and I found somebody who's willing to buy more than one property, says the Taz, that under those circumstances, there won't be a din bar metzra. And the Sma is not clear exactly what the halacha is, but the Behetiv says that the Sma actually agrees with the Taz, that if I sold more than one property, the halacha bar metzra wouldn't apply. Lebalim Rishonim, if somebody sold the property back to its original owner, says the Gemara, less by Mishum bar metzra. There won't be a halacha bar metzra. And the Meiri explains the why, because this person who had to sell his property, and normally as we find in Shas, a person who sells his property only usually does it because he's desperate to sell. And this person has been trying to always get back that property, and therefore he is an individual who has first right. And I saw that the Rishonim say that there's really a precedent for this halacha from the Torah. Because just like we find in the Torah, that when Yovel comes, or it's like Simachal, it's Mises, when Yovel come, everything is returned to the original owner, this too is considered such a situation. The Cain, Ovi Kachavim, if somebody bought from an Akum a piece of property that's next to somebody else, the Zovin, or somebody sells to an Ovi Kachavim, the halacha is less by Mishum Adina Bametzu, the halacha Bametzu doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, Zovin, when somebody bought a property for Ovi Kachavim, even though the neighbor now comes and says, I should have rights first, Damalei, the buyer could tell the neighbor, Ari Avruch Lech Lematzra, I really did you a huge favor, because till now you had this Nachri as your neighbor, and the Nachri could have chosen to sell it to another Nachri, and instead of selling it to another Nachri, I bought it, so therefore, I did you a favor, and there's no claim of nanach b'metzra. Zavon Levi Kachavim, if somebody sold it to Levi Kachavim, then you can't, there's no halacha of b'metzra, because explains the Gemara. What have we been explaining is the basis for b'metzra, because the Torah tells a person, v'sisa yoshev ha-toifu, that we should do what's right. So what's right is that I shouldn't buy a property that the neighbor wants. But you can't say that to an Akum. However, says the Gemara, even though the halacha is that there's no din bar metzra in such a situation, shemuti v'ad mishamtin alei, the seller is put into cheirim, ad mekabalei kol onso dosle machmasei, that any damage that this person, that this neighbor will now suffer because of his new neighbor, the seller has to take on. And Issa Zalman, the Evan Ezel, explains that what is the lesson of this Gemara? The Gemara is teaching us a very important halacha, and that is that the halacha about metzra is not really said to the seller. The halacha about metzra is really said to the buyer. And since in this case, the buyer is a akum, we can't apply the halacha about metzra. And what does it mean that we punish him? So I saw that the Rosh explains that we automatically write a shtar, that anything will happen will be his responsibility. And I saw that the Ravid explains, even though what's going to happen is really only a grum ben nezakin, and we've learned so many times in our shiurim that grum ben nezakin is not considered an act of mazik, here it will be considered an act of mazik, because you shouldn't have sold it to this person. Mishkanta, if this property was left as a mashkin with somebody else, and now he sold it, the malva received it as a mashkin, the halacha is less by mishum dina by metzra. And the neighbor says, I wanted it, the halacha is there's no halacha by metzra. Damer Ravashi, Amali sav demas mechasya, my mishkanta, what does the word mashkin mean? The shchuna gabei, that it's considered the property of the malvas. Ask the Gemara, my nafkamina, why do we have to know that that's the definition of the word mashkanta? Lin the bar metzra. Regarding the halacha bar metzra, that the malva who has the mashkin is the one that has rights. But the mashal says that if the neighbor went and sold it to a neighbor, instead of selling it to the malva cannot force the, even though we're learning normally about metric, could force the person who bought out, here he cannot force him out. That's the way most Rishonim learn. Some Rishonim say that he can force him out. And the explanation of this Gemara, says the Shita, is because just like the malva says to the loiva, I did you a favor that I lent you money, you have to in turn do me a favor that if I'm looking to sell my house, you should have first rights. You should have first rights to that apartment. Limka Baruchik, if somebody wants to sell a property which is far from where he lives, or Ligol, but because he wants to get funds to buy a property, Bekarev, to buy property that's closer to his home, or if somebody wants to sell property which is Ra, which is not quality property, legal bayofa, so be able to use the proceeds to buy quality property, lesma shundem ben bametzra. Because the person now has an opportunity to buy property that is quality property. The person now has an opportunity to buy property which is closer to where he lives. That's not an opportunity that comes every day. So as soon as he finds a customer, he has a right to sell it as quickly as possible. And the Shach says, based on this, that if somebody is selling a property, selling his home because he wants to move somewhere else, and he gets an opportunity to buy a property where he wants to move, he has a right to sell the current home where he lives as quickly as possible, so he should be able to buy that home. If somebody is selling property, lekarga, to pay off taxes, and if he won't pay the taxes, there's a concern that his property will be taken away from him. Or limazoni, if somebody wants to sell property in order that a person died and his estate is obligated to support his almana and his daughters, and the bezdin wants to sell off the property to be able to pay off those obligations. Or lukfura, or property is being sold for be able to be to pay for the funerals of the owner of that property. And all these cases, the halacha is less by mishum by metzra. There is no din by metzra. Again, because in all these cases, we want to be able to sell the property as quickly as possible, and we don't start with the neighbors. Davin Nadai, and the Gemara proves this, because Nadai taught us, lekarga, to be able to pay off taxes, lemazonia, to pay the support that we just mentioned, lekvura, or to be able to make the levaya, meskina b'loya chrasta. That even though we learn normally throughout Shas that when we're selling property that belongs to Yisoymim, the halacha is that we have to only sell it with an achraza, with a bidding process, to make sure that the Yisoymim get the best value for their property, The halacha is that we don't do so when it comes to these reasons. And Tosfos points out that, of course, normally achrasa is for 30 days. So nobody would consider that you should have to let the mace lay here till we bury it for 30 days. What the Gemara is trying to teach us is that when it's for one of these purposes, we do it, we sell it as quickly as possible, and we don't delay under any circumstances. And that's why there's also a halacha, that the halacha is that there's no ben metzra. Leisha, if somebody sold a property to a woman, l'shut l'yasmi, or sold it to Yisoymim, l'shutfi, if one of the person I sold it to was my partner, in all these cases, less of Yishav Din and Metzra, there's no halacha about Metzra. So Rashi explains, why when I sold it to a woman is there no din of Bar Metzra? Because women are not, in those days, were not that proficient in business. And because they weren't that proficient in business, when she gets an opportunity to buy a property, we don't take it away. The Mordechai says a different pshat. The Mordechai says just the opposite. That if the neighbor is a single woman, that's the way the Rashba explains, so you don't want to have a single woman as a neighbor, and therefore you could sell to somebody else. Rashi explains what's the halacha b'shutus, that if you sell to your neighbor has first rights over your shutuf, your partner has first rights over the neighbor. And the Rambam, and there's a very big machloikus rishonim, what does that mean, that he's your neighbor, that he's your partner? Certainly, everybody agrees that if he is your partner in this property, so of course he has first rights because he's already a partner in this property. But the Rishonim that suggests what the Gemara says means to say is that if this individual is my partner in other business, in other business opportunities, since he's my partner, he always has first right. The Gemara till now has been essentially focused on the halacha bar metzra. But now the Gemara is not focusing about neighbors. Now the Gemara is focusing on the situation of when I have a property to sell, and what is the order, who has first rights. Says the Gemara, b'nei ir, if you have people that live in the same city, that shcheinei ir, people who are my neighbors, that live near me, the Shechene Asada, and our people that live near the field, Shechene Ir Kaidman, my neighbors where I live, come first, because I know these people better, and therefore, since I know these people better, those are, for me, a better fit. Shachin, if you have a neighbor, and you have a Talmud Chochem, the halach is Talmud Chochem Kaidim. The first person that you should always sell is the Talmud Chacham. Kar with Talmud Chacham, you have a relative and a Talmud Chacham, and both want to buy the property, says the Gemara, Talmud Chacham Kaidim, the Talmud Chacham comes first. Ibailu, Shachin the Karav. But now the Gemara asks a question. On one hand, you have a neighbor that wants to buy the property, or you have a relative. Mai, who comes first? Tashma, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, Toiv Shachin Karav Ma'achit Rachik. A neighbor who could be closer to you than someone else. Avram Avinu tells Eliezer, Ashlo tikach isha l'bnei b'nois kanani ashi yoshe b'kirboi. Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, has a sefer called Imrei Shefer. And he says, why did Avram Avinu have to say, ashi anoich yoshe b'kirboi? Avram Avinu, of course, lived amongst the Kananim. Why was the person, Pasuk, have to say, moreover, why did Avram Avinu have to tell Eliezer that I want you to take my relative over my neighbor? So he explains that Eliezer had the question of our Gemara. What is better, Shochen or Karev? And therefore Eliezer wasn't sure who should he take for a wife for Yitzchak, because he knew the Pasuk that we're learning, Toiv Shochen Karev Malach Rachayk. And maybe the Kananim, who are Avram Avinu's neighbors, should be the place where you should look for a match for Yitzchak. So Avraham Avinu said, Ashanoichi, he said, don't take from the Canaanim. You know why? Ashanoichi Yoshe Bekirboi. Yes, normally neighbors are very, could be closer than relatives. But here, the neighbors, the Canaanim, Ashanoichi Yoshe Bekirboi, that I live amongst them, I'm very, very well familiar what kind of people they are. And that's why I specifically don't want that they should be the family that Yitzchak should marry into. Says the Gemara, as we've been learning, the neighbor has a right to complain that why did you sell the property to someone else? Says the Gemara, but what will be the halacha? And he's ready to pay the price that the buyer paid. But, says the Gemara, Hani Zuzi Tuvi, as we often discuss in Ashurim, currency in the time of Chazal was evaluated by the currency looking at the actual coins. And if the buyer gave better coins, and the neighbor is not ready to give such good coins, so then that doesn't mean that he's ready to match the price. And that's why it's lesh by mishum dina by metzra. Hanitzairi, the person that the neighbor put the coins in tied up together. And the hanishari, but somebody else left open money, lesh by mishum dina by metzra. Because the person will sell it, he's going to have to count the money. And that takes time and evaluate, as we just said, the money. And therefore, if the other person gave him money that's easily identifiable, he comes first. If the neighbor says, well, give me an opportunity to match the deal, to go find money, the halach is loy natrinalei, we don't have to wait. But if he doesn't say, I'm not going to have to go look for the money, I have the money, just let me go get it. So says the Gemara Chazina, we need to evaluate. If the neighbor is a wealthy individual, and this individual, the Ozlo Maisi Zuzi, they can immediately bring the money, Natrina Lay, he has first rights. If you lie, otherwise, lie Natrina Lay. Ara Dechad, Ubati Dechad. If the property belonged to one person, and the home on it belonged to another person. The person who owns the property can tell the person who owns the building that he sell to me, not to anyone. Because he says, I want the property, I want the building on my property. But if somebody owns the building, he can't say to the person who owns the property, somebody's living in the building, can't say to somebody who owns the property, you have to sell it to me. That means the property is considered more of a neighbor than the house. Ar dechad v'dikli dechad. If there was property, that one person owned the property, but the trees on it belong to someone else. Mari da'ar matzmak of amar dikli. The person who owns the property could say to the person who owns the trees, sell them only to me. But Mari Dikli, Le Matsumak of Amaridara, the person who owns the trees cannot tell the person who owns the property, you have to sell the property to me. Ara Labati v'Ara Lazara. If one person wants to buy the property to build homes on it, and the neighbor wants to buy it to plant on it, says the Gemara, Yishuv, we speak often about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a very important consideration. And Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is more accomplished by having homes in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the person who's prepared to buy the property to build houses on it comes first. So we speak about neighbors. And if there's a stone or there's trees separating the properties, chazinin, im yochel lahachnes ba afil tola mechad, if the neighbor could have one continuous row of plowed area between the two properties, is permission to the Bametzra. He's considered a neighbor. However, Viloy, if that is impossible, less permission to the Bametzra. Hani Arba B'nei Metzroni, if there are four neighbors that live around my property, the Kodm Chad Menayiv Zoven, and one of them, of these four neighbors, was the first to buy, Zvina Zvina. What he has is the sale, and nobody could stop him. V'kula osbad adodi, if all the neighbors come at the same time, palgalei b'kanzel, we divide it like we see in the picture on the bottom of the amid. We divide it with a diagonal, and everyone takes the triangle which is closest to their property. When we speak about the halacha of bar metzora, there are numerous questions to the halacha of bar metzora. One question is that somebody, which comes up often, the halacha is that somebody was advertising that he wants to sell his property. And the person, my neighbor, was well aware that I wanted to sell the property. What is the halacha, and he didn't buy it, and now somebody else bought it, can he claim bar metzora? The halacha is that even though he should have done what he should have done, he still has no claim. He has a claim of bar metzora, and as long as he's willing to meet the price, then he has to. There's interesting questions. So one question is, where somebody has two properties, two apartments, one on top of the other, and the upper part, he wants to sell the upper apartment, but the upper part, the neighbor of the upper apartment is claiming that he's a bar metzora, that he has rights of first refusal. What is the halacha? Does he have such a claim or not? Because the question that comes up, the Mishpatei Torah discusses it, that let's say this is a person that has a large family, and I am going to sell the apartment that's above my apartment, but now if I'm going to sell it to my neighbor of my upper apartment, I'm going to have a family with 10 children right on top of me. Is there still a claim of bar metzora? So the Mishpatei Torah says that there is no claim of bar metzora if that person is a person who is, that my living conditions will adversely affect it. But then he discusses another very interesting question. I had a neighbor who lives on top of me, and his family was constantly making noise. And they were constantly making noise, and it disturbed this couple that lived downstairs till the degree that the downstairs neighbor's wife passed away from pressure, from stress. And now he wants to leave, and he wants to sell his apartment. So the question is, that neighbor saying that I want to buy it. I'm the bar metzora. And he says, how could I sell you the apartment? I have such terrible feelings towards you. You caused distress to my wife, who now is no longer here. Is there halacha bar metzora or not? So the Paiskum say that there still is halacha bar metzora. The halacha can't get involved with the emotions. If I'm staying there and this new neighbor will disturb my lifestyle, so then there's no claim bar metzora. But he's selling the apartment. So he's uncomfortable selling it to a neighbor that he has such bad feelings to. It doesn't make a difference. Another question is there a halacha bar metzora for seats in shul? Let's say I have a seat in shul, and the seat next to me opened up. Am I obligated? Do I have a right, first right to that seat? So the Paiskim say that I only have first rights to that seat in a situation where I need more room. I have children or whatever. I need more room where to sit in shul. But without that type of a claim, there is no question of there is no issue of bar metzora, and that the halacha is that there you don't have to sell it. What happens if I want to sell my apartment to a neighbor because of the halacha of bar metzora, but my father doesn't want me to sell the apartment to that individual? He has a problem with him. The halacha is that there still is a rule of bar metzora, because as we said, the halacha of bar metzora takes place over everyone else. One more interesting question, and that is the halacha, if I have a business and I want to sell the business, but the person and then my next door neighbor wants to buy the business because he wants to use it for a warehouse. And I have another customer who's not a bar metzora, who's not a neighbor, but he will buy the business and keep the business going and be able to, and all of my employees will now have a job with this new business, with this new buyer of the business. Is there halacha bar metzora or not? The Paiskim say in order to be able to protect the jobs of all these people who are working for me, that takes precedence over the halacha b'metzra, and I should sell it to the person who's going to keep the business going versus selling it to the person that's going to turn it into a warehouse.